Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Pastor Farrell Shepherd of the Anna Ford Baptist Church in Madisonville, Kentucky, and I'd like to welcome you to another Sending Forth the Light radio broadcast. This broadcast is for Friday, September 25th, last work day of the week. Amen. Headed towards the weekend. Hope you're having a great day and blessed of the Lord. Amen. And glad to be able to bring these broadcasts to you. Hope that you're being blessed and hope these will be a blessing to you and used of the Lord as well. Amen. And would love to invite you to come be with us for our Sunday services here at the Anna Ford Baptist Church. And Lord willing, we'll be back and be here in person. Look forward to meeting you there. Well, I've got two good songs queued up here. First of all, I've got the Mark Thren family singing As For Me and My House. And then I've got the Shepherd family coming around singing one entitled I Just Stop By. And in the message from the Word of God. Amen. Well, as you know, we have been looking in Matthew chapter number 5 at the Sermon on the Mount. And yesterday we began a sermon from verse number 7. We're not going to complete that on today's broadcast, but we will continue that in the next week as well. But today's message is going to be a little bit of rehearse from yesterday's message and then some new material as we move on. And I hope you understand that we try to condense this so that you get a clear understanding of what's being preached and what's being taught as we move along. So I hope you'll stay tuned and enjoy the message as it was preached live from the pulpit of the Island Ford Baptist Church in Madisonville, Kentucky. Matthew chapter number 5, and going to zero in on verse number 7. Here's our verse for today. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. I've said it this way, that we could call this the attitudes that should be in a Christian's life. Amen. And so when we look at these today, we're dealing with mercy. Now, somebody said it this way, at least one commentator said that these are the birthmarks of true Christianity. Well, I said that's a good statement. These are the birthmarks of true Christianity. Now, it's not Christ telling them how to be saved, but it's telling them how the saved are acting. Amen. And so I said, first of all, blessed are the poor, there in verse number 3. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Number 2, blessed are the pining. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. And number 3, I said, blessed are the pliant. He says, blessed, verse 5, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. And then number 4 that we dealt with the last couple of Sundays, blessed are the panting. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Today, I'm dealing with the fifth one, and that is blessed are the pitying. Blessed are the pitying, those that have mercy and those that exhibit mercy. This mercy, I believe, that is being shown here is more than just human kindness. Amen. It's more than just human mercifulness. It is a supernatural mercy that begins with God. It is a supernatural mercy that has its divine origin in the Lord Jesus Christ himself. In other words, if mercy can be shown from us to others, first we must have recognized that mercy and must have found that mercy for our own self. Amen. But there should be some kind of human mercy, but that's not what it's talking about here. This mercy that he's talking about transcends humanity, transcends what can be common among humanity. And it comes, I believe, from the Holy Spirit working in our hearts. As I've said over and over again, God shedding abroad the love of Christ in our heart by His Holy Spirit. Amen. Surely we'd have to agree with John Newton when he said, 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear. I'd have never recognized I was a bankrupt sinner if not for the grace of God. Amen. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear. 'Twas grace that showed me that I was poor in spirit, amen, and brought me to a recognition of my bankrupt state. And then it was the grace of God that brought me the next step, which caused me to mourn and grieve over those sins, amen, those failures in my life. It was God's mercy that comforted me when I mourned, amen. It was grace working in my heart that made me meek and pliable to the will of God that I might inherit the earth. And surely it was the mercy of God that caused us to hunger and thirst after righteousness. And it was mercy that filled that desire. Amen.
There's a song that the Caracos sing, and Becca would sing the lead in, and she'd say this, "He didn't have to die for me. He could have passed on by." I was a bankrupt sinner sitting there with my jug out, realizing that I had a need. And if somebody didn't put something in my emptiness, if somebody didn't do something for me, I'd die in my sin and go to hell. But he didn't have to stop, but thank God he did. Amen. Amen. As Brother Hughes sings that song, "He called my name. He stopped where I was and met my needs." Amen. That's mercy that comes from God. Now he's going to demonstrate to us that there ought to be some working out of us. I've told this story probably here before. I've used the illustration a number of times in the past. I remember hearing Brother Fane Jordan tell the story about a man that had mutinied, had turncoated on Napoleon. And Napoleon had him up for death. The sentence was death. But as they're getting ready to kill the man because of the mutiny, they said the man's wife fell at Napoleon's feet and said, "Mercy, sir, I plead mercy." And Napoleon said, "This man, such a man, deserves no mercy." And she said, "Truth, Lord, but if he deserved it, 'twould not be mercy." Amen. I'm telling you, when we come to God, we don't come to God saying, "Lord, you'd get a good thing if you'd get me." No, we come to God saying, "Lord, I'm worthless. I don't deserve anything. But Lord, you're so good, and save me for your goodness and for your mercy's sake." Amen. Amen. And so we notice that he says, "Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy." Those that need mercy recognize they're guilty and miserable. Amen. And yet God has mercy upon them. Amen. Now, I want you to notice three things, if I can point out today in my message on this thing about mercy. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. I want to first of all start with a definition of mercy. And there's a lot of ways I could go. As I was studying this, I tried to pray and ask God what was the direction that I ought to go, because there's so many angles. There's so much in the Bible. In the Psalms, and in, I believe it's 1 Samuel, 1st or 2nd, I'm pretty sure it's 1 Samuel, there's a verse quoted twice that says that again, practically this, that with the merciful, God is merciful. And God shows mercy to them that are merciful. There's a lot of scriptures. James says that he that shows no mercy will receive no mercy. Amen. And so there's a lot of different ways you could go dealing with this message, but I prayed and I believe this is the direction that we ought to go, and I hope this will be helpful to us today as I think about the definition of the word mercy. That is an unfamiliar word in our modern society. Mercy. Matter of fact, you think about this. I'll back up and go at it this angle just a moment. Our Lord, if this, some people believe this was our Lord's first public sermon. And our Lord's gathered people around him. He is introducing himself to them. He is introducing the kingdom idea unto them. Listen, the Jews already had an idea of a kingdom. The Jews already had an idea of a Messiah. But their Messiah wasn't one coming with mercy. Their Messiah wasn't one coming talking about poverty. He is coming talking about riches. He's talking about conquering the world. He is talking about executing judgment and justice on people. That was their idea of the Messiah. But here comes Christ talking about mourning, talking about hungering and thirsting, and talking about being poor in spirit. And now he's come to a place talking about mercy being revealed. I'm telling you, the world's idea of Christ and a kingdom is totally opposite of the Bible's idea of Christ and a kingdom. When I think about this idea, that it's, I say it's foreign, it's unfamiliar in our modern society. There's other words that go along with it that are foreign as well, such as humility. We talked a little bit about that in Sunday school this morning. Pride is a dangerous sin among men. And I say men, mankind. Amen. Humility, meekness, kindness, gentleness is missing in our society today. Amen. There used to be such thing as they'd talk about a man being a gentleman. It didn't mean he was effeminate. Amen. It didn't mean that he was weak. It meant that he was proper. Matter of fact, it goes back to the old English ideas of chivalry. Amen. That's bravery and ability, but has a condescension towards ourselves. In other words, that we don't think more highly of ourselves, but we're exercising mercy and help towards others. That's where these ideas come from. And they used to talk about, they'd say, gentle woman. We don't have those anymore. Where we've gone away from those thoughts. Well, I want to think about that, this proper definition of the word merciful. I want to point out five distinct things to define it that I think will be helpful. First of all, there's the passion involved in merciful. A merciful person is a person that has feelings. That's the word I get, passion. Feelings of mercy. Amen. Here's a definition that I read. It said it means to have mercy on, to succor the afflicted, to give help to the wretched, and rescue to the miserable. Amen. One commentator said, mercy is the inversion of everything harsh, cruel, oppressive, or injurious. Amen. Mercy is the feeling or the emotion that has a potential or a propensity of looking upon others with the tender eye of pity. You see them in their need and you pity them. Amen. That's the idea that comes around. To be merciful is to have pity on those in need. This pity is to be shown regardless of the merit of the person. Amen. Do you know we have a law in the United States of America? I know they're talking about we need government health care because everybody needs health care. Everybody's got health care. They're not talking about health care. They're talking about health insurance. They're talking about somebody else paying for it. And that does make a difference, by the way. They're wanting somebody to pay for everybody's health care. Wonder who that somebody is. Who is that somebody? That's me and you. That's right. The taxpayer. Exactly. But this whole idea that we do have a law in the United States that if you have a need, if you go to the emergency room, they're not allowed to turn you away. It doesn't matter how your finances are. Amen. It doesn't matter. You say, I don't have the ability to pay it. I heard a story one time. This fellow went to the doctor and he said the doctor didn't give me but 6 months to live. He said, I told the doctor, I can't pay this bill in 6 months. So he gave him six more months. But the idea about paying for it. Listen, if you have a need, if you have a wreck out here and the police officers show up, they don't ask your bank account. They're there to help you. The ambulance shows up, they don't ask how much money you got, who's your parents, who's going to pay them. They will get there eventually. But that's not where it starts. They start binding you up. They start trying to mollify, take care, and give you ointments or put on a tourniquet or whatever it is. They jump in there to help. Why is that? Because America was based on Christian principles. That's why it's that way. Amen. No heathen country has that kind of humanity about itself. No communist country has that kind of humanity about itself. By the way, if America goes communist or socialist, we'll lose that as well. Amen. That's right. Well, what are you saying, preacher? I'm saying there's this idea of pitying people that are in need, not based on their merit, just based on mercy. Amen. Just based on mercy. I am pro-life. I believe that every little baby deserves to live. Amen. It deserves a right to life. Amen. You say, well, what if it's greatly deformed? It still deserves a right to live. You say, but what is the quality of life? That's between God and that life. Amen. That's not for us to determine and for us to decide. Amen. That's right. I personally believe that old folks ought to have the right to survive. But we're going to get to the point, killing babies now, they'll be killing old folks for too long. Mark her down. If they can't pay for everybody else's way, if they're a drain on society, and that's where they're getting. Amen. I don't mean to get on, but that's where we're at. Here's my point. There ought to be some mercy. And if our nation goes merciless, God will no longer have mercy on America. Amen. Amen. Our Lord's talking about there's a passion, there's a feeling, there's an emotion of mercy. And these two attributes, mercy and grace, go together. They're so often, you can find multitudes of verses in the scripture that put these two together. Mercy and grace, they're so familiar in definition. They're often equated as the same. But I read this, I read two commentators I read that made this statement, so I got to looking at it, and I think they're right. They said grace almost always deals with the affliction or the sin. And mercy almost always deals with the misery that is caused by that sin or that affliction. Amen. Grace deals with what happened. Mercy deals with the repercussions of what happened. Amen. Thank God for mercy. Amen. Thank God for mercy. God is merciful to us. Amen. Here's what that man, our Lord told the story of the Pharisee and the publican went to pray, and that publican would not so much as lift up his eyes towards heaven, but he kept his head bowed, smote himself on the breast, and said, Lord, what was his word? Be merciful to me, a sinner. Lord, I've sinned. I've done wrong, and I'm mourning over that. I want you to help me with the repercussions of what I've done. That's what he's saying. Amen. Mercy involved in it. Those feelings, that emotion. There's the passion. Number two, there's the performance. There's the performance. Real mercy involves more than just an attitude or a feeling. Real mercy has more than just pity. It's action. Right. We've dealt with that in thinking about love there in 1 John. It's more this pity, this mercy that he's talking about is more than just a state of mind. It is a performance of deeds. Amen. If you're riding down the road, and you see a dog that's been hit by a car laying on the side of the road. It's still alive, but it's in a lot of pain. You may feel mercy. You may feel pity and say, oh, I feel sorry for that animal. But if it's real mercy, real pity, you'll try to do something about it. Amen. It's more than just a feeling. Amen. You remember the story of the Good Samaritan, and I'll get to that. That's a story of mercy. Amen. That Good Samaritan had mercy. You got a priest comes by, and, oh, he's concerned about it. You got a Levite that comes by, and, oh, he's interested in it. But there's all they've got's emotion. They don't have any actions. Right. Our Lord asked which one was the real neighbor. Amen. We know which one it was, the one that had real mercy, which went a little bit further than just to say something. Amen. In the scriptures, and I'm not going to have you turn here, but I'm going to read you a couple of scriptures, a couple of verses each. This idea of mercy can be defined as, quote, the expression of sympathy and compassion, which manifests itself in a readiness to help, the desire to relieve the sufferings of others. Amen. The desire to relieve the sufferings of others. James 2 verse 15 and 16, here's what he said. If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto him, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding ye give them not those things that are needful to the body, what doth it profit? James said, if all you got's words, what good are the words? 1 John 3 17 and 18. Again, we've studied this recently on a Wednesday night. But whoso hath this world's good, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. Amen. There's not just the passion, there is the performance of mercy.
Amen. Well, we're going to have to break in right there, but we're dealing with not just the duty of mercy, but the doings of mercy. What are you doing that is merciful and brings glory to God? Amen. Well, as I said, we've got a break right there. That's going to finish today's sermon and this week's message on the Send Forth the Light radio broadcast. I do hope you'll stay tuned next week as well as we'll continue this message. And I hope you'll be in the Lord's house. I'd love to invite you to come and be with us this Lord's Day at the Island Ford Baptist Church located at 1415 Island Ford Road in Madisonville, Kentucky. Our service time, Sunday school starts at 10:15 and worship service is at 11:05. Love to have you come and be with us. Then the Sunday night PM service is at 6:30 PM as well. Well, until then, this is Pastor Farrell Shepherd saying good day and God bless you.